Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Billy is your sex slave.
Here's Nikki. Hello, everyone. It's Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the show. It's Nikki Glaser Podcast. I did say Billy is a sex slave. If you don't know what that means, neither do we, but it just fits really well. It's our friend's dog. She was wearing a collar once. We were singing the song, and my friend Taylor said, Billy is a sex slave, because she was wearing a collar, which all dogs are sex slaves because they have collars. Welcome to the show. Anya is here with us, as she is all the time now. We love it. She's in Mexico.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Bien. That's all I know. la corcas, wait, la saca corcha. That's all I know in Spanish. Do you know what that is?
No.
Corkscrew. So if you want to open a bottle of non-alcoholic wine, because that's all you would need that for. What else do you need a corkscrew for? Anyway, Anya's here. Where in Mexico are you?
We're in Puerto Vallarta, where I've been coming since I was a child.
So you know, like, everything there?
I know a lot of stuff that any 14 through 80-year-old would know, because my parents are 80 now, and I came here for... Well, no, I guess I came here when I was, like, 10. So I still have kind of a child's view of the city. Like, there's a lot of fun stuff here for gays. It's the number one gay capital of the world. So there's, like, a bear festival right now. Oh. Everyone here is, like, of either a super cute little twink guy or, like, a big bear guy with a lot of men.
Has anyone seen
bellies.
The recent episode of Last of Us?
Yes, last night.
Last night, there's a bear in that. You know, the big fucking guy that comes out of the ground?
Oh.
He's like the biggest bear ever. If anyone knows who I'm talking about, he's called a bloater. There's different, like, the infected are different. There's different ones. There's clickers that are like bats and they can see in the dark. And then there's a bloaters that's like a giant one. And there was one on The Last of Us.
You mean at the very, very end, right? That like takes everybody out?
What? The big one that comes out and they're like, the hell? And he's like, oh, and they're like, it's a bloater. And I'm like, that's me every morning just after I eat a lot of salt.
Inserting one comment, I haven't seen it.
Kirsten's
yet.
Here, by the way, everyone.
Hi.
Kirsten's back.
Kirsten. Kiki. I haven't seen the last episode because I had to go to sleep after you guys watching it. So just no spoiler alerts, please.
Well, there's a bloater in it. That's all you know.
Okay,
that's all
cool.
You need to know.
There's, you got two in this room.
I told you. Yeah. Oh God, we're so bloat.
After Emo's pizza,
too many processed food.
St.
Yeah,
Louis
you guys
food.
Had fun last night.
Yeah, we Kirsten's in town. She's staying with me the past two nights. We went to Adam Sandler on Friday night, which was fucking bananas. And then we last night went to Taylor, who you know from the pod. It was her birthday, and we had a karaoke birthday night. Yeah. And it was like 10 of us in a room in St. Louis at the W Lounge. And yeah, we sang. Kirsten was definitely MVP. She was hilarious on the mic, just doing like, I don't know, just singing different lyrics to songs. And she also, we found out she has an encyclopedic knowledge of every song. Like, she knows lyrics to every song, and not because they were up on the screen. She wouldn't even need the screen. Like Bob Seger deep cuts.
I love it. It's such an opportunity to be cool. Like, I was being kind of cool last night, because when you know the song and you just like have the mic and you're like looking down and you don't need the lyrics, I was like, in those Hollywood nights, in those Hollywood, closing your eyes and you're like, look how much I know the lyrics.
And we were all looking at each other like, how does she know this? And then it kept going. Like, any song would come up and she would just know. Listen, we all know, like, the song, what was the Steely Dan song that we were
dirty
all singing?
Work.
I don't wanna do your dirty work. We all know the chorus. Time's okay, like hard. We can all like look off the screen for that. But Kirsten would know like the bridge to that.
Pay the fee.
Listen.
This. So you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free. I'll speed it up.
I mean, it's
But
she knows
just...
the bridge to like just B tracks from the 80s. It was crazy. I didn't
Did
know
you
this
guys
about
hear
you.
About this whole Steve Albini thing with him trashing Steely Dan and went viral. All
I don't know
these
who Steve Albini is, but I did see all about it. He's a punk guy.
No, I mean, he produced Nirvana's album Bleach, I think. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, if it was like Incesticide or both. I forget which one, or never mind. I don't know.
Incest inside?
Incesticide.
Insecticide? Oh, Incesticide is what they changed it to?
Yes.
That's a Nirvana album?
Yes.
Incest inside?
Incesticide. Like Ooh. In.
I get it, what they're doing, but is it about incest? Did he suffer incest?
I don't think so, but it's controversial.
Why would you to put incest in a song or in an album title?
Yeah.
What was the Steely Dan beef with that?
He was like, I'm the kind of punk that will always shit on Steely Dan or something. And then all these people, it was so good. And he's done this before and he went viral for it before. He just, I don't know. Like, he knows how to be in the press, but I thought it was so good.
It's such an open platform for karaoke, because you have different tastes of music. You've got like the choices, and everyone has to be on board and not be like, I don't want to do
it. Here's my karaoke thing. You get one song each per night in a room of 10 where you can pick a song that no one else knows, and it doesn't matter. It's your song. It doesn't matter if it's not a hit. It doesn't matter if no one knows the chorus. It's your song. You get one. And then the rest, you need to choose ones that people have at least heard of before.
I don't practice Santeria. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Was there anyone in this? Was there anyone in this karaoke group that couldn't sing, that didn't have a nice voice?
No, everyone pretty much that sang had a good voice. So that was a good part of it. Like, everyone knew their skill set. No one was hogging the mic that was like terrible. You know what I mean? And I don't tell people that can't sing. I think they should be able to sing. I just think it's weird when they like think they're good singers, but no one was like
Houston.
There's a
hierarchy that develops over the night. Like, we kicked it off pretty strong, but then there's a tier of desire and aggressiveness towards the mic that some people gravitate. Like, a song come on, I'd be like, give me the mic.
Kirsten would just grab it. But we're talking about this.
Give me the mic.
And I'm sure Taylor's friends, who aren't our core group of friends, were like, she's a mic hog, or I was a mic hog. But the problem is, if you don't hog the mic, then there would be nothing playing. Or
just
they,
the karaoke track.
Like they would just cut to like K-pop tracks and then everyone would kind of wait around. And it's like, so either nothing's going to get played, or everyone's going to hem and haw and act like, I don't want to go next, or we're just going to take the reins.
Being polite.
But like, I also went out of my way to be like, come on, guys, get your next song in. Like, I don't want to be a mic hog, because everyone expects me to be a mic hog. I didn't know a lot of these people. I'm sure they know who I am, and they think she's a show off. She wants the center of attention. So I always have to mitigate how I go into a karaoke situation, because I know everyone's going to expect me to be like, she wants the attention on her. And by the way, I do. Of course I do. But I have to, I get it enough out there. But I do. But karaoke's different for me. I like it because it's you don't have to listen to me. You can like be in a conversation and let me just sing in the corner by myself. I don't care if everyone's like enraptured by what I'm doing.
I'm like clapping afterwards.
But here's the second karaoke rule. So first, you get one song that alienates everyone. It's okay. It can be terrible. It can be slow. It can be long. It's fine. You get one song. And everyone should have that. Not everyone takes that chance, but you should take it if you can.
I love that it alienates everyone. It doesn't bring them together for the party.
No, it can. That's what I'm saying. But you get one. But that's what I'm saying. That is it, though. The other song, if you, and by the way, you should try to choose an alienation song that you can really, like, win people over on. Last night, my alienation song was You're On Your Own, Kid. No, I knew no one had heard it. Everyone was kind of in the room in terms of like, we don't listen to Taylor Swift. We don't listen to pop music.
What
and
is
I
this?
Knew that this song is so good and my sister knows it too. And us singing it together and putting on kind of a performance, I knew it would be good. And by the way, it was good. And someone later on referenced like, well, the last time the sisters sang, it was a fail. So maybe this time Corey and Taylor. And I was like, excuse me, it was not a fail. In fact, I think many of the women were touched by the lyrics of that song when they were reading it. I starve my body just to be saved by a perfect kiss. All the like, you're on your own, kid. You always have been. I guarantee you there were girls today in that room that had never heard that song that today were like, wait, I gotta look up that song. What was that song? We won people over. So if you have a niche song, performance in a way that makes it so people go, oh, that's nice. Or you know what? Or have your little moment alone with your Earl Tubbs song that no one knows. And that's fine too. The second rule is any other song you choose, it must be something that other people at least have heard on the radio, at least have heard one time before. A Dirty Work. We got kind of scolded that Dave Matthews' two-step was like, he goes, one of the guys was like, well, we just heard a song that no one knows, so here's another one. And he puts on a song that's like a rockabilly song that literally has like 2 YouTube views, and all it is a grainy photo on the YouTube of like a guy with like, you know, doo-wop hair that literally the song has not been listening to since 1952 in like a, you know.
Can you sing it? Do you remember any of it?
No, do you?
It was like, boom, dop, went down to the river and I said, oh my God.
A great karaoke hit.
Grabbed her hand.
But don't compare that song around to Two Step by Dave Matthews Band. Hey, my love, I came to you with best intentions. Okay, I don't care if you're not a Dave Matthews fan. At least you've heard Two Step before. And by the way, we did put Two Step on, but we stopped it midway through because it's a long song and I have respect for people who might not like Dave Matthews. So I adjusted it. But don't you dare. Don't you dare compare my two-step choice, which I didn't choose, by the way, to the guy who's like, well, we just heard a song that no one knows, so here's another one. No. That was a Dave Matthews is a hit band that's won many Grammys that's been around for 30 years. Earl Tubbs or whatever bathtub honky-tonk you're about to sing has no one knows it. It doesn't have a beat. It's just a guy like crooning in a fucking, I don't know. Like it was just not. So don't compare the two. Do you know what I'm saying?
And also like within the Lord of the Flies karaoke setting, there's 10 people. It's like,
I'm sure they could do their own podcast about how much they did not like our behavior. I just didn't like that comment.
The next thing was comments. Though, the person who becomes the identified announcer. So between songs, they take the mic and they're like, well, folks, now I'm the person who between each song, I'm going to be speaking and cracking jokes. And it's just kind of like doesn't stop.
So leave it to the comedian in the room. And by the way, I didn't even want that job.
But
so
they
leave
were
it
wanting
to the second in command, which is my VP, Kirsten Florman. Okay.
Thank you.
Like, listen, this is, again, people get drunk, they get a little ballsy, and I didn't mind the commentary because the person had the mic already in hand. Yeah. He was just trying to keep the flow going. That's fine. But there is a weird hierarchy, and like and there was a girl in the room that I knew she wanted to sing. She had a little list. She brought a list of songs that she like thought might be good. And she was very timid about like, she goes, I've never done this before. I think I've sung karaoke one time, but you could tell she wanted to so badly. So I at one point in the evening was like, tell me what songs you have on your list. And I was like, because they were 3 mics. So I was like, I'll sing with you. So we'll get people to sing with you so you can get your songs out. So she said, I sang the Spin Doctors. And she had the other one that was like, What's the by Big Love? Hmm. You know the song.
I know all the songs.
I want you back. Want you?
Oh, yeah.
Did we sing that?
Whatever.
No, it wasn't that. Was it that?
I didn't need it.
I just want an understanding. Maybe it was that. I don't know. It was something like that.
I just want to. Prince, do you?
Yeah.
Go
ahead. Spin Doctors, Two Princes was a banger. It was a great choice.
The older the song, the longer the buffering took. They were like trying to find oldest song ever.
Yeah, they would have to go back and like access microfiche, go through files, go through
it was just
hieroglyphics
fun.
On cave wall to transfer.
And every room has their own demographic. Like we were definitely like, our room was hot as
How many rooms were there?
There's like so 10 many rooms. It's like a tanning salon. You go back in a hallway and there's just like rooms. You walk in. They're like, go in room four.
Oh, I pictured everyone together.
No. We were there's 10 people room. In one room.
But like it was so hot in our room. They turned the heat up so we would get like fussy.
And no, they didn't.
Take your clothes off. Okay. But they kept coming back through.
Yeah. It was so fun though. Karaoke is so fun. It's such a great idea for a party. But just know that if you go and you're someone who likes to sing a lot, you got to get people who are, there's always going to be people that are going to get mad at you. And those people, they can go fuck themselves because they grab the mic when you want to, if you're going to be fussy about it. But there are people that are going to be like shy and really want to sing and like will hold back. And you gotta engage them and go, I'll sing with you, because people don't want to sing alone. It's really scary for people, but they still want to sing. So always make sure to grab the person that you can tell wants to sing. But don't force them to sing alone, okay? They want to do that so badly, but they do not have the courage for it yet. Sing with them. Even if you sing the mic next to each other's face and you sing with them, like people, and I think so many people miss out on, I know there's listeners right now that are like, I've always wanted to sing karaoke and I never just want to get up on that stage alone. Sing with them. Even though my mom rejected me once. They should have what? It was so rude. Like, I still haven't let it go. It was my birthday, karaoke. And my mom, by the way, one of my favorite karaoke songs is Criminal, Fiona Apple. It's like my one.
Cool.
And it's also my mom's. And so I go, perfect. We'll sing it together.
So creepy, kind of.
Really?
I've been she's like writhing on the girl.
Yes. I've been careless with a delicate. Okay. So I go, Mom, we'll sing it together. And she's like, no, I don't want to. I want to sing it alone. I'm like, okay.
She never gets to perform because of your dad. He's always nagging her.
I know, but like, I'm someone also, I would rather sing, I don't care what song it is. I've been practicing it alone with an instructor for years. If someone is a good singer, I want to sing it with them. If someone's a bad singer, please take a back seat when you're singing with a good singer. Like, stop being as loud. Give them the loud microphone. Last night we had a dim microphone and a loud one, and I'm like, people who are worse singers, take on the dim microphone. Please take a note.
You can't even hear people singing, though. It's like you're just
so
screaming.
Annoyed with my mom.
Oh,
back to
the criminal.
But she just was like, I'm like, wouldn't that be fun to sing with your daughter who has a good voice too, who also loves this song?
Who usually
and
just sings like, with
no,
her
I
dad.
I want to do it by myself. What?
Who usually just sings with her dad now could do it with mom.
Yeah. Like, She needed it on her own. She's like, I want to do it on my own. And I still have, my feelings are still hurt from that day.
Maybe she just wants to shine.
But why not? But she'll shine next to me. Like, we can share it. Like,
but
I know that's
a star.
You get the microphone a lot.
If I could, I would share my comedy with her. Like, I've never once wanted to sing a karaoke song by myself. I think it's rude. And I think I always want someone else. If they know the song and they're a good singer, I would 100% always prefer someone singing it with me. Because I feel embarrassed when I sing alone. Because everyone's like, oh, she thinks she's so cool. You think it's cute?
Did you sing? Yeah, that she likes, she wants to, because she has a great voice. She probably just never gets to solo.
But just why share it? I guess I don't know. I know people are like, Nikki just needs so much attention. It wasn't that. I just wanted to share a song with I like singing with people.
That.
I like watching TV with people. That's why I go on Instagram Live and sing to 33 followers of our account, because I don't like doing things alone. So it just hurt my feelings that she would rather be alone and like show everyone her goods than share the song. And I'm not if I sing with someone, I'm not trying to like do more things than them vocally or like try to like I know where I stand. I would let her shine. It was just like, it was just so rude to me, and I literally need a therapy session over it. It hurt my feelings.
Well, that's why we're here today.
Sorry.
Good. And well, I mean, that's why I'm wearing glasses. I've already cried today. At least I've been crying a lot lately. No. I mean, it's mixed in there. That's deep in there. I think that wound still hasn't healed from my birthday party where I've literally never, and my mom has done it multiple times. I've never gotten to sing Criminal at my own birthday party, which is my favorite song to sing because my mom, it's her only song to sing and she has to do it alone.
I get that. Why it
so
would
I'm still wounded
you.
From that. What would Everyone you say? Gets,
I get that why you're wounded about it too.
Because you would rather sing alone than share something with your daughter. That's why it upsets me.
She wants the glory without the
like, you feel I see what you mean. Glory? No one gets awarded
but
anything
it does,
at the end of these.
Sure
it's about community.
Her brain
you
probably
share something
interprets
with your mom.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
There's probably like another perspective that hasn't been discussed. But
and
I do,
I'm trying to consider that, yes.
I think that like more probably life. Performing yesterday, especially since you weren't like on the road, like this is your creative outlet, your outpouring of emotions and stuff like that. So that definitely probably unlocked something within you that is making you like a little bit more emotional today.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like mean, I singing? Did feel, yeah, God, I got a lot out last night singing and performing singing. It definitely is better than comedy for that, for sure. But
it's
I woke
therapeutic.
Up this morning just like, oh, just so sad and like just depressed today. But we're going to turn that ship right around and we'll be right back after this, after the break.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I wanted to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I gotta go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. So let's just say last night was so fun. I probably have a hangover from how like fun it was and how much of a release it was. My sister was there. It was Taylor's birthday. Her sister was there. Taylor's friends, Kirsten. It was a blast. And then Friday night.
Oh, yes, please. I got this text from you at like 10 at night.
Yes.
And it was a photo. Now, and then once I learned that Kirsten was there, I saw your Instagram. I'm like, okay, now I know who took this photo.
Yes.
And I need all the details of how you met Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler was...
I snuck the photo.
At the Enterprise Center, which is the big hockey arena, on Friday night. And Chris, my boyfriend, is doing the Mark Twain Prize for humor for CNN, which is going to air at some point, but they're taping it soon. So he's show running this huge production. Cool. And if you've ever seen the Dave Chappelle one, he did that one too. So he's well versed at these. He's really good at them. And it's awesome to get to do this. And it's going to be such a funny night of like comedy and just celebrating Adam Sandler. It's like a big fucking to do. The names that they have for this thing, it's like better than the Academy Awards. Like, it's insane who's going to show up for this. So, Adam Sandler came to town on Friday night. Chris got tickets through Adam's people because he's working on this event. And then he put the tickets under my name just in case. And he also isn't stupid because he wanted to maybe people to see like, oh, Nikki Glaser's going to be here. Maybe. So then I got us primo parking because I have an inn there through working the Stiefel Center, which is right next to it. So I get the best parking. It's like, you're parking so like it's your Adam Sandler, like you're right. Showing up for the show, and it parking's such a nightmare down there. And the line around the block, we get to go in through the security entrance. It's sick. Nice. It's the nicest time I've ever felt about being so a celebrity.
Good. Yay!
So we go in. I love this. We get to our seats. They're floor seats. It's awesome. The show is. If you have a chance to see Adam Sandler, first of all, watch 100% Fresh on Netflix if you haven't. It is the funniest special going. No one's touches it. No one's pound for pound laughs and silliness and like just fun. No one special touches it. I'm telling you, maybe Bo Burnham, but Bo Burnham has like an edge of depression throughout the whole thing. There's like a existential crisis. Adam Sandler, watch that special and tell me it's not the hardest you've laughed at any special comedy special out there. It is the best. So his whole show is so funny. He did like an hour and a half of just him. We saw Rob Snyder open. He was great. And then it goes into Sandler. Sandler's killing with stand-up, music, everything. The 100% Fresh special, I've become obsessed with two songs on there. Or three. Alcoholic Lawyer. If you can find it on Spotify, it's about an alcoholic lawyer. You just gotta... Just listen to Alcoholic Lawyer. It's literally a 20-second song, and it's so funny. And then Station 69, which is about two astronauts who 69 each other in space. And it's so funny. And it's just... It literally is one of my like favorite songs. I listened to it earlier that day when I was running in the park. I just think it's a beautiful song. And then the Chris Farley song. And you guys have heard me talk about this recently. Like, I've been obsessed with the Chris Farley song. I was struggling with Bob Saget stuff.
You played it for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know Adam Sandler was coming to town when I played it for you guys. I've been playing it for everyone. I'm obsessed. So then we go. And I was saying to Chris early in the show, I was like, man, my life would be made if they played Farley's song. Because it's the only one out of 100% Fresh, the special, that I was like, they might redo. But I don't even think Adam would do that. I was like, man, it would be, I think I would lose it because I'm so emotional about that song. Seeing it live would be like seeing Wilco do I Am My Mother, or like Taylor Swift do You Are On Your Own, Kid. Like, that's how good that song is to me. But I had no, because comedians are so weird about repeating material, I knew he wouldn't sing it. So then at the end, I hear all of a sudden the tinkling of keys, and I'm like, oh, it's Station 69. They're fucking doing my favorite song. Like, Farley, I knew was a chance they would sing it, but not really much. Station 69, There was no chance they were going to play it. And then he played it, and it is so good. And Rob Schneider played the astronaut who he, you know, 69s with, and it's so funny.
Doesn't he do that in the special, too?
Yes, but he comes up walking in this one, because in the special, he's, like, flying, and he's wearing an astronaut suit. This, he just puts on a helmet, but it was still so good.
And he's upside down, 69.
Yes, so it's, like, the song is, like, it's awfully cold in outer space tonight. I sent the message back to Earth to tell them we're all right. I check the something something and look for instruments to fix. And he's like, but my favorite part of space is when we suck each other's dicks. And he's like, and the whole thing is like, they are floating through outer space and they can't control it. And they turn in a way that they both suck each other's dicks accidentally. And they call it, it's just another accident on station 69. And then he's like, and then at the end, he goes, it's just another accident. And then Rob Snyder goes, it's just another thing that on purpose I did. And they go, it's just another afternoon on station 69. It's so good. But the music and the melody is just, I don't know about it. I just like love it. It's not even the joke part that makes me laugh as hard. It's just like, it's a beautiful song. So then they play that. Then they played Farley. I'm like crying, tearing up. Then we have a guy come over and like get our attention. We're like in the row and he like passes down these stickers that say Adam Sandler and the date and then my name on them. And he passes five of them. And there's five of us. It's me, Chris, Kirsten, Tim, Chris's brother, and Emma, Tim's wife. And I'm like, I don't even know what these are, but we're like watching the show. We're like, I guess they're backstage passes, but I don't know in what context, like, I don't know what to do with any of these. And then at the end, like after he finishes Farley, the guy comes back, you know, 30 minutes after he gave us the passes, and is like, come on guys, come on. And so we are ushered out and then we get to go backstage. We're on the side of the stage for like the last song, which is a beautiful song. It's the song, I Wanna Grow Old With You, the one from Wedding Singer. And then we go backstage and then we are backstage in this area, the same area when I went to the Blues game where there was like a buffet and we get to hang and see all the like the Blues coach and all these stuff. Same area. I'm like, oh, been here before.
And was Nancy Pelosi lady there?
As they should.
I got back. That sounds like my mom. Like, mom, I got backstage. They gave me backstage passes for Adam Sandler.
As they should. You're a goddamn star.
Take it back, Julie.
Now give me that microphone, Nick.
And so, yeah. Criminal. I'm a criminal, baby.
Criminal.
I'm going to sing it alone. I want to sing it alone. We should call my mom to see her side of things.
Please.
So then we go backstage and then we are all like freaking out because we know we're about to meet Adam Sandler. It's Adam Sandler. I really just said recently, I think he's the last person comedically that I'm like, I haven't met him and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jennifer Aniston, God, who would be like really big to me. And so I am like, in that kind of weird state where we're all looking, like Tim, me, Emma, Kirsten's like more chill. Kirsten's like, oh, is there a bathroom back here?
We enter the buffet area and I'm like, ask the guy who like just brought us there. I was like, how can I get out of here to go to the bathroom? I gotta pee.
We like entered this like quarantined off area for VIP and Kirsten's like, okay, so like how long do you think we're gonna stay here? Like,
no, I was excited. I was being coolio. Just like trying to be.
She didn't even have to pee.
Coolio K from Kansas. Just she's crying. Cool.
So,
but I did have to pee.
But I just was Tim's a comedian. We're about to be at fucking Sandler. Like, we're like losing it. Then it gets to be like a little bit longer and I'm like, okay, I really have to pee and I don't want a picture with Adam Sandler where I look like I'm 4 months pregnant with like pee. So I walk out because I go, Kirsten, I'm gonna go. And Kirsten tells me where it is and I start walking out and then I see Adam Sandler and I just like turn around and go, he's coming. And he walks in and I'm like, and he's like, they're like, this is Nikki Glaser. And I'm like, oh, hi. And he's like, Nikki. And I went in for a hug. And he goes in for a fist pound as I'm going for a hug. And I go, I'm so sorry. I go, as I'm hugging him, I go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You went in for the fist. And he goes, no, I was just giving you the option. And then he fist pounds everyone else. I'm like, no, he does not like germs. Yeah, he does not want a hug. And I went in for a hug. So that was embarrassing. But also, who cares?
He's gracious.
He doesn't care. And then he was so nice. And he, and then I was like, my boyfriend is like, you know, he's producing. He goes, I heard. He goes, who's that? And then they meet and he meets all of us. And then he like, then everyone's just digging into the food, like all the crew. He's and like, everyone. Get the,
who wants
Rob
barbecue?
Snyder. And there's a guy that's in Waterboy that plays a guy that don't like this. He's there too. And it's just like, and then the guy that brought us backstage, like their stage manager, who's he's, I was like, thank you so much. I was like, and he was like, I've been to dinner with you like 3 times. And I'm like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, it's been, I've been at dinners with Spade. I'm like, I don't, how do I not remember? And I was like, it was probably a dinner where it was too many people and I was too shy. And he was like, yeah, yeah, I was shy too. I felt bad. But he was really sweet. And he was like, and he really set up the, I feel like he like facilitated the whole thing. So I want to thank him for getting us those VIP tickets. So it was just like so, but I talked to Adam like a lot. Like I went over and told him that I used to babysit for Judd Apatow and for his children, not him. And that he called one night and was the nicest. He was like, I vaguely remember that. He kind of liked that story. He was asking about, I told him I was friends with Spade. He said, I'm sorry about that. he was just like so cool. And then, oh, we talked about his, I was like, that set was amazing because it was so funny. There were so many new
songs. The balloon.
Oh my God. He has this one song where he talks about like when you, I don't want to burn it, but he talks about when you like have a balloon and you just want to like let it go. And like back in the 80s, you could just let a balloon go and you'd like watch it go up in the air. And there would just be an event where everyone would like watch the balloon go up and up. And everyone, it was just fun to be like, it gets so high. Like, it, whoa, wow. And you watch it. But now it's like pollution, you know, like you can't do that. And so now he's like talks about like he had a balloon and like someone was like, don't do it. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm taking it home. I'm just going to take it home with it. And then it's in the car and it's like blocking your fucking view. And he's like, I just want to let it go so bad. Like, and then he like he pretends to like go for the door and he's like, oh, it accidentally fell out of my hand. And then the guy's like, you, that was on person. He goes, no, it wasn't. And then he's like, but look at it. Like, you just got to still look at it. And then the balloon, then later that night, the balloon comes back. He hears something at his window and the balloon comes back and is like, thank you. Thank you for letting me fly. It was my dream to fly. And he's like, okay, balloon, cool. I'm glad you got that. And the balloon's like, I have, it's one of two dreams I have. I don't want to ruin it, but he's like, he goes, okay, cool. I'm glad you got your dream. Because I said I had two dreams. And he goes, okay, I guess what's the other one? He goes, I just really want someone to go down on me. This balloon, its second dream was that's the beauty of Adam Sandler's, like, it goes from this like relatable thing of like, oh, you release a balloon and it's so fun to watch, and it's like even that is like very specifically like it's a thing that's relatable that we all know, but no one's ever put it in those words, and it was just so, it brought us all together. Then he starts talking about going down on this balloon, and then it gets wild. It's so funny,
like untying the balloon, and then the air comes out just a little bit, like. And the balloon goes like, oh, that was a queef.
But he called it something. He was like, yeah, he called it like a heliqueef or something. Like, and it was, it's just, it was so absurd, so funny. But I was just telling him like how great his new hour was. And he's like, you know, it's just so hard to get a new hour. I'm like, I'm not writing songs and producing like heart rendering. Like the Farley song is one of the best songs I've heard in a decade. Like it's touched me in so many, like. What he's doing is much harder than stand-up comedy, no offense to every stand-up comedian.
All, like, the videos and the photo montages, and just, it's so visually, like, you're not bored for one
second.
Not even
1 second. And he's so lovely. Anytime someone goes, like, I love you, Adam! He's like, he just goes, like, love you, lovely. Like, he has to do it a million times during the show, but he does it in a way that doesn't make everyone do it, you know? For a while, I was like, stop acknowledging them, because they're going to keep doing it. But he's so gracious. He's so nice. He's so full of love. He talked about St. Louis in the perfect way. Like, it was a masterclass for me in terms of, like, going to see how someone can make a night so special. He does a song about selfies and how lame they are. And then by the end of it, he's like, but selfies are actually fucking cool. Let's take a bunch. And he takes a selfie with the whole stadium. He gets every little corner so that you see yourself in it. And it's, you know, on the big screen. So then you're a part of the show, like...
Oh,
and then he does
so
a part
cool.
where he, like, sings about He just is like, okay, I need a couple in their 20s. And then he puts a flashlight on them. He holds a flashlight and then he sings like, he came to the show tonight because he wanted to get, like, and then he does all, like, a story about them. He's like, just know that if I find you with the flashlight, this isn't exactly your story. We're just having fun. He's just very protective of everyone, but also having such a good time. And it was just like, it was so cool to meet him. And then by the end of it,
so cool.
Yeah, we were just like, the guy was walking us out that got us in there, and his stage manager was like, Adam asked you if you're on the road. You know why he did that, right? And I was like, no. And he was like, he would want you to come on the road. And I was like, no, that's not why he asked me. Because I was like, he was like, are you on the road right now? And I was like, yeah, like every weekend. This is my first weekend off in like a month or so. And he was like, yeah, that's why I asked you. And I was like, well, tell him I will cancel my tour. No offense, Anya and Matt. I will do anything to go on the road. So I'm really hoping that he puts in a good word and I get to go out on some dates with him and just fly
and
in. And
I would come see you again.
Yeah, oh I gosh, said I would do yes. Station 69, but I have to be a man because they suck each other's dicks in that. So I was like, I'll transition for that song.
I want you to be in one of his songs. Like, I want him to do a song collab with you.
I would love it. I mean, it really inspired me.
Oh my gosh.
I just want to do more songs because they're just short. They can just be one verse and then have a punchline and then you go into the bit. Like you can, the song can be one verse, a chorus, and then I crash the plane into a hill and then it's like done. Right. And then everyone laughs. It doesn't have to be like, this you don't need to Weird Al it or to even Bo Burnham it where it's like a whole song with a bridge and it, like you don't need it.
And I like how you just had like, he had a beat one song. It was like, boom, bada, boom, bada, boom, yeah. Bada, boom, bada, boom. And he just say, guy in the movie theater with a backpack. Boom, bada, boom, bada, boom, 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 boom. He's alone. And you're like, you're how you're
making
like
us all nervous.
Yeah.
Sitting between me and the exit. Boom, boom, boom. So he just is like talking about like fat cop on a horse. What did he do to get his squad car? Ticket from him. Like he's boom, just, boom, he's talking about things in society that we like all notice. Like it was just a device to... And then there was a song about bathroom stall, like public restrooms, and how each stall has something disgusting. Like one is filled with shit, one's sprayed with piss, the other's filled with blood. One is like
moving down to the handicap. Got a homeless guy passed out. What's that? And boom, boom, boom. Like
yeah, it's just like mundane. It's observational. It's funny. It is out of the box. It is disgusting at times. There were some songs that were like so gross that you were like, oh, and then the visuals with them on the screen. So another thing that made me go, oh, Adam Sandler is known as this like squeaky clean. If I talk to, I'm not trying to play the card of like, I'm persecuted, but I get known, every single fucking interview I do talks about how lewd I am, how crude, how disgusting I am, how I don't hold back, how all I talk about is sex. And I doubt that Adam Sandler gets asked about how disgusting his jokes are all the time, even though I love that about his jokes. He should not change them. But I feel like why I'm so sick of doing interviews where I get talked about like, well, just to know, let you know that this station, there could be old people listening. And I go, who knows more about sex and like war and like they've old people? Why are we protecting old people? I got told that this week. We have a lot of old people who listen to our station. It's like, are they 4 year? Like, I think they can handle
the dirtiest
jokes. Yes. It's they have true. Been around the they longest. Like it. They can. Why are we protecting them?
You have resties. You have fans that are resties.
Yeah, dude. But any takeaways for you from Adam Sandler night?
I just loved it because I love writing little songs, you know, that it's like my thing.
Yes.
And I just saw how easy he made it look easy because it was like, oh my gosh, I've totally thought that thought. But I loved how
you could do that. You
the
could
attention
do does,
span
sure.
was
Not
so
could.
Easy. Like he would be like, grass is growing, the sky is blue, blah, 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 blah. And my daughter's friends hate me or something.
Yeah.
Like it's just like a picture of his daughter and like,
and her friend, like, her, yeah, like, and I hate my daughter's friends. And then he has this whole story about meeting his daughter's friend in the kitchen and how he's just, this kid was eating his turkey out of the fridge. It's like, you gotta go see Adam Sandler live if you can. Fly to a city and go see it. It was so good. But at one point, so we were in the crowd watching it. And he had a venti Starbucks cup. And I was just like, God, I want to know what his order is so bad. Because he's like sipping this Starbucks cup. And I'm just like, I wonder what it is. And I assumed it was black coffee because most men are just like, they just drink black coffee. And then Kirsten, we're backstage, and Kirsten also at one point, we were joking if I like, because people kept yelling out in the lulls, like, I love you, Adam! You're the Sandman! You can do it! You know, like all these things. So Kirsten was like, what if you yelled out, what is your Starbucks order?
I knew you wanted to know. So then we're
backstage, and Kirsten, we're joking again if I asked him what his Starbucks order was, already, like how ridiculous that would be, right?
That was
the joke. I turn my back for 2 seconds, and Kirsten goes, Adam, Nikki's dying to know. She wants to be able to get you a Starbucks someday. What is your Starbucks? But why did you say she wants to get you a Starbucks someday?
All I said, let me rephrase it. We were already there. He was sitting alone, kind of looking over at us.
Yeah, he wanted an interaction.
We had Rob Schneider and the group. That's the thing.
When you're a famous person, people think you want to be left alone, and then you end up not being a part of conversations because everyone's trying to respect. I really wish I would have talked to him more. Because I just was like, he's tired. He wants to do his thing. And I forget that I always want to hang after shows. And then later, the guy that walked me out was like, because I said to him, I was like, if Adam brings me on the road, just let him know. I will hang as much as he wants. And I will always leave him alone as much as he wants. I have respectful boundaries of his art. And he goes, oh, no, all Adam wants to do is hang. And I was like, oh, I want to do is hang.
His tour manager is an angel.
That's all I want to do. I know, he's the best.
We just have to give him a little bit of props, because there's some people who just are so good at networking and connecting people, and that he just has this kind of foresight to make this happen. It added so much more to just going to see Adam Sandler front row. It's so much more than that.
Yeah.
I just think the best thing is when people have a good crew that know how to deal with other people. So you don't, that's like their job.
To like curate what they want, make it.
And just make it easy. Make your night easy. Make everything flow. It's such a hard job, too. Like, you have to know exactly when to go out to find Nikki Glaser in the crowd with her friends and have the things ready.
And yes. And sprinkle these things. Yeah. It's a talent.
I didn't have anything else to ask him. I didn't talk to him like, hey, I'm Kirsten. I was just like, nice to meet you, bump. He looked at me, boom. So then the night was winding down. He was looking over, and I was just like, I glanced at him. He made eye contact, and I was like, Adam, what's your Starbucks order? Nikki wants to grab you one next time you're in town. And he was like,
which is
black coffee,
I didn't
stevia.
Like that line.
I just had to.
Oh, I know, but I, we cute. Just.
It, he didn't care.
And I was like, no, I wasn't like trying to get him. I was like,
he knows that.
I know,
you're
but
a celebrity.
It reminded me. It gave.
Oh, it was triggering.
It was giving, if I could use a term that I don't use. It was giving energy from when Kirsten and I took a train one year. Because her mom's scared of flying.
Eighth grade
to New Mexico to visit her grandparents. And we got there, and Kirsten just kept telling her grandmother that I loved women's rights and that she should tell me about suffrage and like the women's rights movement. And so Kirsten would leave me alone with her grandma and be like, Nikki's dying. She loves women's rights. Tell her about it. And then I would be like stuck with her grandma listening about women's rights.
You're like looking through a photo album, looking at me like,
yeah, and it was giving that for me, where Kirsten like shouts something and then like throws me into it, and then I'm stuck. But his order is black coffee with stevia.
See, you wanted to know, and I helped you, and that was like,
and I go, I was right. I didn't guess stevia, but yeah,
I know. At least I have training in meeting your famous friends, like getting through it and not being like, so David Spade. Oh my god, I loved that movie that you were in.
You're not punishing.
I saw
them.
It and I watched it. No, I just sit and wait. And wait, and I get to say one or two things, and I feel like that's a good boundary. Like,
oh yeah, you can go in hard. I just don't want you to say something dumb. Like, Nikki wants to get you one next time.
Nikki
like,
can't wait to be
the embarrassing part. I don't care if you ask him. Nikki's wondering what your order is, but when you said Nikki wants to get you one, I was just like, no.
Nikki, what if I walked up and I was like, hey Adam, oh my god, you know what? I think Nikki would like love to be on tour with you. Like, she's just like obsessed and just being
that would.
So
I mean, that would be hell too. But
it's kind of like. When we had, I didn't do this with my friends, but when I looked at other normal kids doing this, where like they had a crush on a boy and the friend was the one who was like, oh, I think Amy likes
Adam,
you.
Adam, Nikki likes you. Yeah. And then like, Nikki, why don't you guys kiss?
Right.
And you're just like,
yes.
That was that was kind of my job.
Yes.
Being your like 6 months older chaperone and through high school.
That is true.
6 months older.
You knew better than to do it with boys, because I would have just like turned into a puddle of like hell. Like, yeah.
Wait, who did she do it with?
Adam Sandler last night. Like, what would you? Know. And with in her grandmother. School, I mean. Like, just in those. Or Nikki's she'd like, be, like, in a store or something. You know, like, she just put me in embarrassing situations.
I do love to put you in. Because it made you who you are today. Now you can handle anything.
Oh, yeah, you're responsible for everything.
Yes, thank you so everything. Much.
I'm trying to think of other examples where you would
you
just
can
be,
handle
like.
Handle anything.
Nikki, like, loves your shirt. Like where did you get that? Like, we'd be making fun of something, and then Kirsten would, like,
Nikki
point
really
it out,
wants
like,
to get into archery. She wants to do it. You want to tell her about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like if like, we were like at a school thing, like going to see like someone work with like owls.
Nikki, you love that,
but
though.
I do love owls. Yeah, I mean
going to just... the art museum and telling the curator that you'd like to go through the mummy exhibit another time.
Because... yes, like that.
And then you were such a polite kid. You would have been like, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a polite kid.
Polite.
Kid. And then we went over, but yeah, it was an adventurous weekend. We went to my sister's house, and her kids were. Just wild.
Wilding out.
It was the pitch was just like tea kettles and cats screaming. Like, after a while, we were like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, I always go over there and like I wear like so nice fun. Lululemon new pants that I just pulled out of the dryer, and they have like just crap all over them, like stickiness. Like kids are just so dirty. Like I felt like I got done going to like Bonnaroo after that. Like I was just like, I need to shower for like 8 days.
Like getting festival away from vibes.
Because they're just like drooling everywhere. They're sucking on things and then they're jumping on you with like hands with bananas in them. Like mothers just never can be clean.
They always have a sucker and then they grab your hand and it's sticky and then.
But Poppy was chasing me around with a full banana in her hand that she was like grasping onto and then. Like shoving it into my hair. It was just like, I don't love you.
It's like it's
anymore. High, it's like when you have that, like to get away from me, treat me as persona non grata.
It's like calisthenics too. The get me, you can't get me. And then running around sprinting. I was wearing my Brooks. I was like,
I have a disease physical. Where I can't walk anymore. I like made, you know, we're playing make believe and I go, I can't, I lost my legs, use of my legs. So I couldn't chase them. And then they were like, your legs are healed. And I was like, God damn it. This fucking
your legs are healed.
They would just like suddenly like do cast a spell on my legs. And now my legs are healed. And I was like, I gotta go.
They're so
this.
Cute. I love them.
And then they started getting naked and that was a whole thing. But at one yes. point I was like, I'm going to join the party. And so I just pulled down my pants. I've never mooned anyone in my life. What? Literally, wait. I don't moon. I just pulled down my pants to my butt because they were just my butt. Like, who cares? Okay. So I just pulled down my butt, like, because they were just going around in circles and we would run through the living room and they were running through naked. And then what I started running with them. And just to surprise Lauren and Kirsten, I went through and I pulled down my pants, just my butt, and like skipped behind. And then the kids saw my butt and they were laughing. They like couldn't handle it. And then I apologized to Lauren later. I'm like, should I have not done that? And she was like, no, that was hilarious. It was just your butt. Who can't like?
I have the video. I'll delete it if you want.
Oh, you should delete it for your sake because my butt is disgusting.
I froze it. And
it
was
like librarian flat. Mrs. Stifler, like the most disgusting ass I've ever seen in my life. Like. I honestly did not care because it was supposed to be for a joke. So like, it's funny. I woke up today wanting to kill myself because I hate how much I look. But my ass yesterday is truly one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life. Like I did not know my, I think Chris should break up with me based on it. But I did not care at all. And I still don't care because I don't care about my ass really.
Yeah, it's behind you.
Yeah,
leave all that behind video. You.
But if any of you saw your ass look like mine did, you would jump off a cliff. You really would. It's one of the worst asses I've ever
seen. Well, it's an adult butt that when you're in motion, I think that was part of the thing. You were like, oh my God, because you were like skipping and I was like pausing it and going slowly and like backing you up and going forward and backing you up. And it's like an adult butt in motion with like.
No,
legs.
I could tell I my sister my in person in was so horrified. They
but
were
you
just
weren't
like,
trying to make no, it sexy. Weren't. You were trying to have like a no, goofy, silly butt.
Exactly. Like, that's the difference. You pushed like, it. I don't, if I can look ugly, if I'm trying to look ugly, I don't care at all. When I look ugly and I don't want to be, that's where I like lose my mind and start crying all day. But
like shaking it around and it was like,
yeah, it didn't bother me because it was not meant to be, it wasn't meant to look hot.
It was like, not supposed right. to be hot at all.
It was to be around kids and just show your butt and be like, oh my God, Aunt Nikki just showed her butt. Like it's just, they won't even remember
so
it
if I did yeah. it right.
You are setting a foundation for being the most fun aunt.
I mean, I
you
don't know
about Sandlering.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably could get some kind of tickets in some county for what I did.
To show. I mean, I could get some money off that if okay. I wanted to sell it.
Yeah, I'm that's not true. Going oh, to. Yeah, you could. Well, I could get some money off of the fucking butt shot you sent me,
that's
bitch.
That's true.
All right, oh, we got to go to break. Yeah. We'll be right back after this.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Yeah, Kristen took a hot picture for her husband the other day, and it was I saw it on her phone, and then I was like, will you send that to me? Because it's so hot. Like, it's inspiring. And so she sent it to me.
It's inspiring.
It is. It's so hot.
It was the angle, and I know my mom's going to listen to this, and she's not, like, in the generation of
sending
Wait,
will you show us how you set up the camera?
Can I show you
how you did it? Yeah.
Yeah, and so at karaoke.
So you have to watch this on YouTube if you want to see.
At karaoke last night, I did
the
same.
It's the best way to take a picture of your butt if you have a good one and you want to send it to a guy or a girl.
I'm out of town and I just want to say, hey, Corey, look at this.
So I set it up.
Okay, so the phone is propped up against something, like a mug, a friend's mug. She's coming off the mic.
So you get up.
She gets up.
You take a staggered stance. So one leg back.
A staggered stance. You can still talk into... Yeah.
Kind of like a lunge.
A lunge.
Hold on, I'll take it right now, actually, so I can get the...
So you keep one leg straight, like down...
Oh, this is good. Okay. So you're in a staggered lunge stance.
Okay.
Slightly pivot your hips so that the cheeks are facing the front of the screen. Lean back.
A staggered lunge stance.
Arch the back.
Stance.
I don't think I could do that movement.
Boom.
We'll take
it. I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah, we'll send it and we'll post it on our story. It's perfect. Yeah, make sure. I wonder if my butt could look that good in that, though, because you have a great butt. That's the thing.
Thank you.
Well, do you want to
so
see if
I... So basically, you're just doing a lunge, and you take a picture of it.
From
are
the
you
side.
Have your pants
a side
off?
Angle. Yes.
Pants
well,
off.
She had her pants off.
Are you tightening your butt muscles as you do this?
I'm flexing at my hips so that kind of my
butt bones are going back into like a squat.
Do you hear Kirsten getting Pilates voice?
So if you just do it with a round, but you do have to use a little technical joint.
Yeah, I can't arch my back like that.
If you're here, it's not going to look as good, but if you extend your hips and kind of.
Yeah, you got to pop that ass.
Whoever is watching the YouTube clip is like jerk offable right now from Kirsten going,
it's kind of. It's a little bit of a Pilates. I know Nikki's going to listen to this later to take a nap too. So
I can hunch my back.
Extend your legs.
Yeah, I can hunch your back.
Yeah, do a hunchback. Send
why
back.
Okay, here's my question.
Hunchback butt pick.
Why don't our bodies naturally do what they're supposed to do? Why is everything that's the looks good hard?
Because the human body was designed to move as efficiently as possible, and that means that there's a lot of muscular compensations that occur. So over time you develop muscle imbalances and injuries due to your body loading the way it really shouldn't.
Where do we go wrong? Why can't we just stay the way? Because babies have perfect posture. They walk with an arched back. They have their butt sticking out. They walk perfectly aligned.
Well, over time,
is it shoes?
Over time, who knows, chicken or the egg? But
there's no question of chicken or the egg. Over time, when does it start?
Even as babies, you're not supposed to do an inverted V sit where the knees you're bending and the toes go out, because then it creates issues for when you're standing, your foot flattens and the knee goes in and your butt gets weak. And
but then why do kids do that naturally? Because it feels good to sit.
Because they're
way.
Really lax, their muscles are really lax and not fully formed till about puberty.
So why at puberty don't we harden up a little out bit the right way?
They
why
do come
do
out the right way.
Need to go to Pilates.
Well, because we no longer work in fields and we're not hunting and gathering and moving all day. We sit and we sit and we sit.
I
we
knew
eat
that
foods
answer.
That are
okay.
inflammatory, which create even more inflammation. And
okay,
pain
what are
bodies.
What are the foods we should avoid that are inflammatory? Popcorn,
fast food, fried food, packaged food.
But you don't
food.
Need popcorn, right? Because it's like
Ayurveda.
Popcorn's
destructive on the digestive system.
What do you call it? You're like, it's like
it's Ayurvedic medicine at people.
No, but I mean, you call popcorn something when you're like, I can't have that. It's too.
So there's Ayurveda is the earth elements reflected in our bodies. So
you're like, it's pata.
Air,
you're
heat,
like, it's mata.
Air, fire, and and earth.
You're like, it's so pitta.
Vata,
it's too pitta.
Vata, pitta, kapha. It's like three signs that you're made up of more
okay,
of one
this
of
would
the
be
elements.
A great We Know Nothing.
Yes. There we go.
So anyways, okay, this is also one of those hard. Subjects that I get so nervous about, because no matter how many times I learn Vata, Pitta, Kapha, it goes right out my mind.
But it's literally just like you can take a quiz, you can kind of see what applies to you, and then you can look at a list of stuff.
Is
that
one better than the other? Because I'm the worst one.
The worst one.
I'm probably whatever the one is
there's
that
Vata,
no one wants to be,
Vata,
I'm that one. And you're going to be like, no, it's good
one.
To be that one. It's for good. It's like Kappa. Good for like Nordic temperature. Yes. Which one's the worst?
You're not that one. You're the skinny, tall one that's really fast.
You're Vata. You are made of air and light, and you're just like ideas.
So I don't need to take the quiz. You already know.
You don't want to know what the one is that I am and that my mom is. It's a cow grazing in a field.
Kaffa. Are you Kaffa?
You and your mom are both tiny little bird bones.
No.
No. So you guys,
at different times in your life, you can test for different things. I think I'm more whatever Nikki is now.
You are one, like, let's say you are Kapha, but where your imbalance lies, I've seen a practitioner to kind of diagnose, like, I am Pitta, which is a fire, but my imbalances lie in the Vata, so the air. So when my imbalances are anxiety, worry, fear.
Like, whose aren't?
Well, Kaphas don't have a ton of anxiety. Like, I have.
What?
Yes.
This is the astrology of
well,
India.
I don't have
this
a lot of anxiety. I have a lot of depression.
That's Kapha. That's a Kapha.
Okay, so I'm a fat cow.
It's not fat cow.
Whatever
if
it
you
is.
Have excess,
I knew I was the worst one.
If you have excess Kapha,
not
you,
that there's anything
you need
wrong with
to
being
add
fat.
Vata. So what? Maybe the foods you eat that are like, you love foods with like air and crispy. Like
yes.
That can help balance.
Because they're low calorie
anyways.
And I have an eating disorder. It's not because I'm Pitta or Kapha.
It's just
it's because I'm a person that grew up in the 2000s who didn't get enough emotional support from her parents at a young age.
But some of these types
and
are
I'm a
also-
Gemini.
It's meant to just be fun and like you notice things like if you eat popcorn and maybe you don't poop for 2 days, that's kind of not.
Who would notice that?
I do.
Who could trace not pooping to I had popcorn?
Me.
Really?
See? Oh, yeah. Anya knows. She's in touch.
Wait, do you not poop from popcorn?
My body. No, but I know when there's something awry
yes.
in my body.
How do
whereas
you do,
I,
how do you do
I was
that?
At,
based
my off mom bowels. Has COVID right now. My mom has COVID. She's like, I feel amazing. I'm not sick at all. I give her a test. The
Stripe comes immediately. I'm like, you're very positive right now. Just chill out. She has no idea she's even sick. She has all, I'm like giving her the test. She has tons of snot. Meanwhile, she's like, I feel amazing. I feel great. What is that type, Kirsten?
I mean, it's not like that's a type.
Well, I wish I was someone that could eat a little thing and go, oh, my stomach.
I'm just sensitive. Like Anya, it's sensitivity. I think like the more HSP, highly sensitive, like this karaoke room last night for an HSP, my sister would have like been like banging her head on the wall. Like,
Noah, are you good at this? Do you know when you eat popcorn and don't poop, you're like, oh, I can trace it to the thing that I ate that made me not poop. I don't even know I haven't pooped. I was on Dancing with the Stars for 8 weeks and didn't know that I hadn't pooped.
When's your last poop? After yesterday, the dispensary?
When was the last time I pooped?
Yeah.
Yesterday. But I mean, like, if I go long time, well, there are many times I've been constipated for several days and I'm just like in a bad mood and I have no idea it's because I haven't pooped.
Yeah, but when you're bloated, you're like very sensitive to it. You know, if you were to do those shots for your eggs, you know, you would have been like, oh, I feel gross.
Well, you know, gut and like anxiety is all linked.
Yes.
Especially when, like, I remember when I was taking antidepressants, like one of the warnings was like, oh, you're going to be pooping a lot. And like once, you know, like right at the start, as the pills are starting to stabilize or whatever, I had a lot. I was always on the toilet.
Really?
Gut and brain and anxiety is all
I'm not connected
related.
With my body.
So did
I guess.
It clear? Did it cleared you out and kind of like helped?
I think it's just all like it's like in the nervous system. It's all linked.
Mm-hmm. Well, whenever I need to poop, I just smoke a little weed. And then for whatever reason, smoke makes my body go like, get out of me.
Or
and
relaxes.
It all comes out. Yeah. It relaxes.
Because the main point of all of the Ayurvedic stuff is just to.
Or chug caffeine.
Put your body into like an equilibrium to where you're like mentally, physically. Like as whole as you can be,
this stuff depresses me because it's so much work.
No, it's not at all, Nikki. All it would take was you to go.
You have to like grain up like little chia seeds and do overnight oats, and you have to go in a red light sauna, and you have to go to a guy that sticks pins in you and like feels your stomach nodes, and then you have to
gives
go see
you a vaginal massage.
Unnecessary. Yeah, no. What could I change that would make it better based on the things you've observed this weekend?
So with vata, you could.
Based on the things I've observed, as I chug this like latte. So, it's a decaf latte though. But it is almond milk. Is this bad?
I've been taking notes since I arrived Friday at 5 o'clock. What I've observed so far.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think easy things you can do in the winter is like decreasing the amount of decreasing the amount of carbonated cold drinks, increasing warm cooked foods like soups and roasted vegetables and like proteins. You know,
can I warm up my protein bars? Just put them in my pocket.
Yeah, like that's just too getting outside as much as possible. Like our walk we did in Forest Park yesterday.
I get outside once a day.
Yeah,
and go for a run.
Yeah, I mean, there's just little things you can do to help ensure that you're.
What about wearing a shirt that says "I'm sad, I'm sad, I'm sad, I'm sad, I'm sad"?
Oh, that's definitely
sad. I'm sad. I bought this faster than I've ever bought anything in my life.
Did you just Google "I'm sad" shirt?
No, it just came up on my feed. They knew I needed it. Final thought. I got it from Reductress.
Oh. Oh, because you're always sharing their posts.
Yeah, I love their posts. And like their posts always nail me so hard. There was one that was like, woman celebrates 40th birthday by admitting to herself she doesn't want kids and stops saying, oh, maybe someday. And I was like, I cried when I saw it because I was like, finally, something that makes there's other people out there that have been faking this, like, maybe someday, so that you'll still like me and still treat me like a real woman. Do I fit in? Maybe someday. And yeah, when I saw the shirt, it said, I'm sad. I put it in my, I put it in the basket, the Instagram cart, you know, when you buy things on Instagram. And then I go, I can't wear that. It's just too obvious. And it's like too, it's going to start conversations with people. And so I didn't buy it. And I was just like, and I'm not spending $32 on a shirt that says I'm sad. That's like not good for you. And then I got sadder and it came up again. And I was like, I need that shirt so bad because it just says maybe people will be nicer to me or something, or maybe people will like take if I wear it, they'll be more gentle, or they'll be more understanding of me being not pleasant or something. And I think that every one of us needs this shirt on at some point. You should be able to wear it, and everyone is just easier on you that day.
My mom used to have a t-shirt in the 80s, and it was when she and my dad were having a lot of marital arguments. And it was painted feet, like footprints all over. And it said, "Go ahead, walk all over me." And she wore it every day. And I remember my dad was like, "I really don't like that shirt."
Oh my gosh. That's like a night. Was it like a
It was the most passive-aggressive shirt.
Yeah.
In existence.
Go ahead.
I think it's pretty aggressive because for me, I'm sad so often. And I feel like people sometimes think I'm a jerk or like, the reason that anyone's ever rude is because they're deeply sad inside. Like, you have to, like, equate those two. If someone cuts you off in traffic, if someone gives you the finger, if someone, you know, writes you up at work and, like, complains about you, they're deeply sad. If someone's mad at you about something because you said something to them, that you told them the truth about something, they asked you a question and you gave them the answer they didn't want, and they're being mad at you about or whatever happens in your life, they are sad. If they are sad, so be gentle on them and be nice to them. And I feel like even the other day I canceled, I've just been every single day of my life promoting my shows on these radio stations and doing different interviews with like these small publications. And I don't think any of it works, but you have to do it because in case you have low ticket sales, the promoter can't call you a diva and be like, "Well, she never did any of the press." So I say yes to literally every, so I call into radio stations 3 times a day sometimes, and like, you know, it's a lot. And so the other day I was just not up for it, and or no, what it was, that it was the last one of a day of like, and I was about to cry on like all of these because I was just like not in the mood for it. And so I just told my assistant, I was like, "Can we get this one moved?" So she moved it. And it was no problem because they're grateful I'm even calling in. And I'm also grateful for them for putting me on air because it's not ideal for a radio station to have a call in. It's better in person. Before I was famous, you could never call in. I would go into a town. I would go into Cleveland for a show over the weekend. You get in on a Thursday. You have a Thursday night show. The second you get in, you have to go to afternoon radio. And then Friday morning, you have to wake up at 6 a.m. and go to morning radio. And then you have to, like, there's no calling in from your hotel room to make it easier. You have to go in. But when you get famous, they're like, "Call in, it's fine." I'm like, "Wow, it seems like calling in was actually an option all along." It's very interesting. So anyway, calling into the show the other day that I had rescheduled, and my voice lesson went long. I was supposed to call in at 3:30. I got off my voice lesson at 3:08. I get in the car and I'm like, "Well, they don't want me in a car because it sounds bad." So I was like, "I'll just drive somewhere and park and call." You know, when you're driving, it's like, you can like hear it. Then it starts pouring down rain. And I'm like, "Well, then this can't be good for audio." So then I just was like, "Oh, they're not calling me. No one seems to be like worried about me not calling in." And I was like, "I'm just not going to call in and see if we like can just reschedule this, you know?" Then I see my assistant goes, "You missed your call at 3 an hour later." And I go, "I know. Here's what happened." And she goes, "And they just wrote, they don't need to reschedule. You're canceled." And I was like, "Oh, they hate me." Because then I realized, oh, no, that was the call that was rescheduled already. This is 2 times I'm flaked on them, which is like not okay. And I didn't realize it was the same station. There's so many stations I'm calling every day. I didn't realize it was the same one. So then I go, fuck. And so I found them on Instagram and I wrote them and I was like, "Here's what happened. I'm so sorry. I know you probably fucking hate me." Because I know these stations, they're like, "Nikki Glaser thinks she's fucking better than us." And then I'm now going to be like this person that whenever my name comes up in a news thing, they'll be like, "Well, she used to be a friend of the show, but she canceled on us twice because she thinks she's better than us." And then everyone in Cincinnati that listens to that station thinks I'm a jerk. And then anytime my name comes up in company with them, they'll be like, "I heard she's a bitch." And then anytime those people that were in those company hear, "I heard she's a bitch." And then it spreads like The Last of Us, the mold spores, and it's all connected. So I course corrected by writing to the station and being like, "I'm so sorry. I was in a thing that went long. I got caught in the rain. I totally understand if you hate me. I just wanted to explain myself. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I'm sorry." And they, of course, rescheduled right away. So then I have the call with them and I get on and they're like, "You know, a lot of history with you. You know, you were a friend of the show. You came on before the pandemic and did a promo. We had a lot of fun. And then during the pandemic, I reached out one time on Instagram to have you back on the show. And you just wrote back, too busy. That's all you wrote. And I'm like,
that's a reply.
That's an honest reply.
That's a reply. But you know what? Because I didn't say, thanks for asking. Sorry. Then
top
it's
of the
rude.
Morning to you. You know, how's your daughter?
Exactly. But I just wrote back, too busy. And I bet a lot of besties are like, yeah, Nikki's written back stuff like that to me too. Go look in your text messages. Is every text you've ever sent anyone laced with, thanks, sorry, exclamation mark? No, sometimes you are too busy. You know what's ruder than writing? And the girl had my back because he said that. And the girl goes, well, she could have just not written back. Right. And I go, yeah, check how many comedians never write back to you when you write them. The thing is, I at least write back because I know besties have written me and gone, thank you so much for writing me back. Even when I do just like a heart and they go, thank you so much. You're the only person who's ever written back to me. No one writes. There are a lot of people that they don't write back to anyone. So I was probably sad that day. It was during the pandemic. You wrote me a paragraph about having me on your show. I was getting too many inundations that week. And I was, and so I just wrote too busy. And because I wrote two words and I didn't write, but thank you, which I know takes 2 seconds. I should have just written that. And now I learned. I'm always going to add a but thank you or sorry. Even though my voice lesson teacher just told me after I had to like change a voice, he's very strict and is like, this is a college course. You can't be late. And this is not something that we, you know, you show up for class. And if you don't show up for class, the class doesn't happen. You don't reschedule the class. Like he's very, which I like. That was his pitch to me the first day. So one time I had to reschedule it and ask him for a different time, or I showed up for the wrong time. And he was like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I will come back later. I can do it in this window. I'm so sorry again. My bad. I'm sorry to show up at your door. I didn't mean to. And he wrote back. What did he write back, Kirsten?
Because
I shared with the girls' chat.
Like, be in the dance of the unknown.
Like, let's dance. Be in the dance with these circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be in a dance with the circumstances.
I love that.
And I even told the girls' chat, I was like, he is going to kill me for this. Like, I am in deep trouble for this. And he just wrote, and then we had our next lesson. And he goes, before we start, I just want to talk about something really quickly. And I was like, oh no, fuck. I'm going to get reprimanded for being like late or something. Like 30 seconds late. Like, I'm so scared of this guy, or I used to be. And he's like, you are so hard on yourself. And I was like, I've heard this. And he's like, why? And I go, but why wouldn't I be when you tell me the first day of class that this is not a joke? You can't be late. This is a college course. I go, I don't understand why I get yelled at, not yelled at, but I get reprimanded by people by being like, you're so hard on yourself, but the world is hard on me. And I don't understand. So then I'm hard on myself for being hard on myself. Like, I can't win. And so then he goes, you apologize too much. And I go, I'm never going to stop doing that. It's not that I'm sorry I exist. I'm not like, I don't like these whole women that are like, never apologize. Stop saying sorry. If I bump into you, I'm going to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think it's better than pardon or whatever you want me to say.
That's what Matt says.
Or that was excuse me.
Or like a Adam Sandler joke. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
But isn't he talking about over-apologizing?
Yeah.
And it's
perhaps.
Like maybe insincere? Or what's his point? Yeah. You apologize too much.
His point is that I will never be a good singer if I am constantly punitive with myself. Because it's about relaxation. It's about being open. It's about like trusting. And it's about like
relaxation.
The voice is in you. Mm. And the only thing... You don't have anything to do with your voice. You have to get out of the way of it. It's in you. And that's like an interesting thing of like whatever talent you have. Like if you want to play guitar, if you want to be a good writer, you already are. It's you're getting in your way. Like it's you're doing things to prevent that talent from being found. There's
this
no
guy's
it's
like
there.
Buddha.
Yeah, he's really. He honestly is like my therapist. We had that day that he talked to me about that. We have an hour session and we spent 45 minutes talking about self-love and like self-flagellation and just self-deprecation like and he told me about his marriage and he told me about the loss of his, you know, losses he's had. It was just like, and I go, I feel like this is, he was like, I go, I bet you do this with a lot. He's like, I do. But he also was like, there's something special about, we have a really good bond. We have a great balm that we're coming out with.
It's on sale on Instagram.
Yeah. If you use promo code, I hate myself. I'm sad. You can get 20% off your first month supply of our Singer's balm. No, but Michael Rocchio is the shit and I love him so much. Anyway, what a show. Thank you, Kirsten, for being here. You have to drive back to Kansas City.
Be in the dance with the circumstances, Kirsten.
Dance.
I know.
With the circumstance. With the circumstance.
Sit in the car in a hunchback for 4 hours.
Pitta.
Pitta.
Kaffa and vata.
Just get a kaffa latte.
I'll get a kaffa latte. Kaffa latte.
Okay, I'm going to drink. I'm going to eat more root vegetables that are warm and grains. Cook, I'm going to go soups. Walk more. But I don't cook. I'm so hungry. Where am I going to get these soups?
Meditate. Whole Foods. Right down the street.
Okay, I'm
going to
do
it. I'm going there right now, actually. I need to get some lunch.
All right, let's do it. Okay, cool. Got to go. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. Don't be kiff. And I couldn't think of a Jack for I want to just
Jack karaoke.
Okay. We got it.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.